We all have our veterans on our minds these days as Remembrance Day is fast approaching, and we wanted to speak with a number of people from the Purley and Rideau Veterans Health Center. And my first guest is Ross Imrie. Hi, Ross.
Hi, Sam.
It's
How are
so
you doing?
I'm great because I love the opportunity to speak with everybody at the Purley Rideau. Every year we had this opportunity, and this year is looking very different.
Which certainly is.
So tell me a little bit about your role, Ross.
Well, I work as an arts instructor at the Purley. I'm also the studio lead, and I am now working on a unit. We're cohorting our whole the whole of the Purley into three of the three buildings, and so we're working directly with one unit in order to beat this COVID thing, and I think we've actually been doing really well.
This is really an opportunity for us in many ways to see the best in people. Have you experienced that, Ross?
Absolutely. We know how hard this is on our residents, and we know how hard it is on the families and the volunteers who can't come in. We've created quite a family over the last few years, and this virus has just really stifled what we do. It's been very difficult, but people have risen to the task, and it really is about making our residents as comfortable as possible, as happy as possible, giving them what they need, even though they're not able to go out, they're not able mm-hmm. to do the things that they normally do.
When the calendar turns to November, so many of us think about the Purley and Rideau Veterans Health Center because we think about the veterans that are living there and really the quality of life you're able to offer them. How will Remembrance Day look this year for all the veterans?
Ooh, it's certainly a lot different. We will be gathering in small groups on our units, and in the Purley, a unit consists of around 40 people, and not all those people will attend, but we're going to have a Facebook feed of our own ceremony that's going to be held outside just for a very few people, but it means we'll include our piper and include our bugler, the president of the Veterans Council, the reading of letters from the Prime Minister, and moments of spiritual guidance from our spiritual people. We're definitely a lot very pared down from our normal ceremony, which is mm-hmm. 800 people and little Boy Scouts bringing the wreaths to our veterans to lay at the altar, and we have a very huge altar with all the flags of the provinces in Canada, and it's just a lots of flowers, and to lose all that, and to lose all our veterans and family members being together is very sad.
It's such an emotional day to begin with, and adding this extra complication this year with COVID, do you expect it to be even more emotional?
It's hard to say. I've been talking to some veterans about how they feel about losing our ceremony, because it is moving. And I really don't know how people are going to react on the day. Mm-hmm. They've handled it very well. They realize that we're going through this pandemic, and we've had to curtail so many of our activities. So I don't think they're surprised that we're having this approach, but we will give the ceremony, our own little ceremony, as much respect and honor as we do with the larger ceremony. So I think it'll be touching. I think it'll be moving. It's just we have such a variety of people and cognitive levels at our institution. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, some of the more cognitive veterans will really be remembering, and we will be remembering them and our lost veterans. And then some of our veterans and community people too. I mean, we are mixed. We'll not quite understand what's going on. It's really hard to say at this point.
And Russ, you know, this is an opportunity too for the community to get involved at another level. And you've got a very special program that I want to tell our listeners about today, because our listeners here at 1310 News are very generous and they want to help. So tell them how they can get involved.
Well, we got together and tried to think of something that we could do that would lift their spirits. And the Alta Vista Manor behind us used to put poppies out, like on the lawn, so that our veterans could see them. And it was just a beautiful gesture that they did for us. And we wanted to take that a little bit further, and we were going to install Canadian flags, thousands actually of Canadian flags.
Wow, thousands of flags, Ross.
Yes, it will be very impressive. As the veterans wake up, they'll be able to see the flags outside their dining rooms, and we're hoping to create a sea of them, a wave of flags from the main entrance all the way through. And there'll be a backdrop to our own cenotaph, where we will be holding the ceremony. And so we're hoping that it will be uplifting for everybody who sees them. And so we're asking people to donate for one flag, and we'll be installing them the day before Remembrance.
And Ross, how can someone do that? Are they connecting with you through the website?
They're connecting with the Pearly Foundation, and they will handle the transaction. And so for every flag that is purchased, we will put it in the ground. And we also will have a board if they want to send a message to a veteran. So we're going to display many of the things, that the sentiments of people.
Wow, I really think this is a fantastic way for the community to really show the veterans we're thinking about them, because of course many community members get to be a part of your ceremony, and family members. I'm hoping they're going to feel the love.
Well, I imagine they will. We've started the campaign already, and it looks very successful. We're hoping for a lot more. The money will go to our veterans and community members for the purchase of equipment and programming. It's a wonderful way to raise money, but at the same time, give to our lovely and honorable veterans too.
Absolutely. I've had the pleasure of meeting many veterans when I've toured the Pearly Rideau. And, you know, I think every single one of those visits has stuck with me. And I can't imagine your role. You must have met with hundreds of veterans over the years. And those stories stick with you, I'm assuming, too.
Oh, yeah. My father was a RCAF pilot in the war, and he never talked about his experiences. So it's been fantastic for me to get to know what he actually did, and the people that supported him, and the roles that they all took during the war, well, both wars now. And I can't tell you what a blessing to me it is to learn about what they've done for us and their history, but also just the history of Canada. And it creates a whole new way of looking at what went on during the wars and what these guys did for us.
Is there someone that sticks with you as somebody that has shared a story that you often reflect on, maybe on a hard day at work?
Well, there is one fellow who worked with Coastal Command, and he had the job of flying into France during the war to pick up wounded soldiers and bring them back to England. And just the harrowing experience of flying in and flying out, and he was is always moving to me. And he's such a gentle soul to have experienced such horrible things, and yet now he is the most wonderful man. So I think of him a lot.
Thank you so much, Ross, for sharing your story today. Ross Imrie joining me from the Purley and Rideau Veterans Health Center. We have many more guests coming up that are going to share their stories and how we can impact this incredible organization this Remembrance Day. Stay with us here on An Hour to Give. Volunteers are such a huge part of the Purley and Rideau Veterans Health Center, so that's why we wanted to speak with Rachel Stoparczyk. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
Rachel, it's so great to chat with you because, of course, you get to work with all of the incredible volunteers that impact the lives of veterans.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have amazing volunteers at Purley Rideau, and I'm so happy whenever I have an opportunity to speak about them. Normally, we have about 400 volunteers helping out at Purley Rideau within a given year.
It really is incredible. And how do you attract volunteers? Or are they just wanting to come in and give of their time because they're so connected to veterans in their community?
We're quite lucky, in fact, to have a number of volunteers coming because of those connections with veterans. Many of our volunteers also have a personal connection to Purley Rideau, so it's always really amazes and inspires me when family members come, most often after their loved one has passed away here, and want to contribute their time as a volunteer because of the positive experience that they had as a family at Purley Rideau. But we have volunteers coming in from all walks of life, some 13 years old, joining us in our summer youth program or other youth volunteer opportunities, and all the way up to right now, I think our oldest volunteer is 93.
Wow. Wow, I love hearing that. And we often think about volunteers as we couldn't pay them because their experience and what they bring is priceless.
That's right. You can't put a dollar value on it. And in my experience with volunteers, they don't really want you to either. They're here to give in ways that mean much more than money.
Rachel, take me to mid-March when all of our lives were really disrupted due to COVID-19. What was the impact on volunteers at the Purley Rideau?
Well, in mid-March, we had just started to hear from a number of volunteers who were not comfortable coming into volunteer at the center. They were quite concerned from the news about bringing the virus in to the home. They were concerned about spreading it amongst residents, and they also were concerned about their own health and their own families at home. So they started to tell us that they were just going to stay away and see how things went. And then, you know, things changed so quickly here, like they did for the community. By April the 1st, we had actually asked that the volunteers don't come in, and we spent some difficult months without any volunteers in the home before we were able to welcome some back.
It must have been so heartbreaking, Rachel.
It was really heartbreaking for me personally, for sure. For a lot of our residents have come to tell me, and the staff as well, how much they miss the volunteers. But it made a huge impact in the lives of so many of those volunteers. We have a lot of people who have been sheltering in place this whole time who maybe are living alone. And, you know, I had one volunteer tell me just yesterday that for her, the only thing that's changed with COVID-19 is that she's not volunteering. So that was her social connection and her connection to the community, and her story shared by a lot of others who truly miss that sense of purpose and the social opportunity to connect with others here.
And there's been a pivot, really, and I know we've used that word a lot, certainly in the last 8 or 9 months, but there really has been a pivot to that virtual connection. How have volunteers helped in that way?
They've helped quite a bit, and right from the start, it's been really inspiring. For instance, we have an income tax clinic, and we've had the same volunteer helping us with it for more than 10 years, and he was able to help anybody here who needed assistance with their income taxes from home, so we set up a process to do that safely. We have a number of very talented sewers on our team, and they are continuing to make masks and for their tenants in our seniors' housing, and scrub caps for our staff to keep them safe and comfortable while they're wearing their PPE.
Wow, it really is amazing. The experience really is vast, and I know you've got an incredible art program as well.
We do. We do. Unfortunately, our creative arts studios have been closed since March. But one of our volunteers from that studio has particularly inspired me. His name is Pat Griffith, and Pat came to the program about 5 years ago to help in our woodworking classes as a very talented woodworker himself. And he, thankfully, last year decided to reach out and see if he could volunteer in another way. Pat was really enjoying, most of all, connecting and visiting with the residents in the woodworking classes each week. So he decided to stay beyond his Wednesday morning class and do some one-to-one visits on Wednesday afternoon. And one of those veterans that he's been visiting, he's stayed connected to throughout the pandemic. So Pat and Gren maintain their visits, and they've been, with the help of my colleagues in therapeutic recreation, doing video visits via Skype. And
wow.
It's been neat. Gren told me he's never heard of such a process before, but he's getting used to it, as is Pat. And Pat, through this, discovered a new application for a woodworking design that he had been working on by chance. He's been making beautiful stands for smartphones and tablets. And so those, he's donated a few of those to the Pearly Rideau to use during our video visits. And he's also been selling them recently to his friends and has raised over $500 for the foundation through those sales.
People are amazing, aren't they?
They are amazing. There's a little bit more to the story, because the wood that Pat uses for all of these tablets, it's wood that he's actually been donating to the Creative Arts Program for some time, and it's through a friend of his who's working at Global Affairs Canada. I know he'd want me to mention Glenn Bug's name, and Glenn is responsible for procuring all of the china for the Canadian embassies all around the world, and this gets shipped to him in large wooden crates, and he saves them with the blessings of Global Affairs and donates them to the Pearly through Pat. So he turns these crates, Pat does, into kits that the veterans and residents here can use to make things like mailboxes and bird feeders, et cetera, in the woodworking classes. And now that Pat's using himself to make the stands for the video calls.
That is community at work, is it not?
Yeah, it is. I like the full circle of that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a great recycling effort, as well as, something of real tangible value.
And, you know, we spoke a little bit earlier about Remembrance Day. Obviously, it's going to look very different this year. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of volunteers that normally help with that. How has that shifted?
Well, I know that a lot of our volunteers who are at home right now are sponsoring some of the flags that the Pearly Rideau Foundation is raising money for. And I have a few volunteers who will be coming in to join the team to plant those 2,000 or so flags here on site. But for the actual celebration, I'm really pleased that one of our truly outstanding teen volunteers, Aiden, is going to be involved at the War Memorial laying a wreath for the veterans. Aiden volunteered 2 summers with us. Unfortunately, that summer youth program had to be canceled in 2020, obviously, but his own father is in the service, and I know what he enjoyed most the first summer was having those one-to-one visits with veterans and hearing their stories, and he really made some strong connections here. And so much so he told all his friends and brought two more along with him the next summer. So,
wow.
Great. So it'll be great to see Aiden back. He will be only here at outdoors, but able to maintain that connection with the veterans and do something to honor them on Remembrance Day.
I find it really emotional when I see a youth with a veteran. Like, I find there's just so much in that. And it's, you know, it's kind of a picture paints a thousand words, if you will. And I just find that really is a picture that I was conjuring up in my mind when you were speaking about that.
And, you know, the veterans reflect that back to us as well. They get very excited for the youth volunteers and to be able to share their history and their stories and know that it will live on because they're connecting with these young people. It's nice to see that spark that's created and that interest by having that one-to-one connection.
And I think especially when so many of our veterans were young men and women themselves.
Oh, exactly.
And so, you know, seeing that and just, I get really emotional when I think about it, actually.
Yes, yes. Well, Gran, who I was talking about, who visits with Pat by video, he was, you know, serving as a tail gunner on a Lancaster bomber during the Second World War at the age of 18. And that is just an incredibly dangerous position to have, and to you know, think of an 18-year-old you might know now, and for them to be up in the skies in a war zone, it's really, I think, hard for the next generations to imagine that.
It really is. It really is amazing to think all the challenges that have gone on this year, and volunteers are still even probably more determined than ever to make sure they make that connection with veterans this year.
Absolutely. It's funny, when you say determined, I think of another volunteer we have, Daphne Pearson, who's also been, you know, shifted her visits with veterans to telephone visits, in her case, and also sending things by mail. I was speaking with Ida. Ida is one of our veteran residents. She served as a nurse in the Second World War, and she was telling me, what she admires most about Daphne is that she's so warm and caring, but also, she emphasized, energetic. And I can attest to Daphne's energy. She is go, and she was an early childhood educator, and I think she's still got that, you know, she's retired now, but still has that level of energy that she must have brought to working with small children. But Ida really loves that after their visits, Daphne will go home and research online for her any of the dates or names that she might not have been able to recall for the stories that they've been sharing. So she's kind of helping to fill in those blanks, and Daphne's also helping to keep Ida's family, who's out of town, up to date on what's happening with her, too.
It's amazing. I'm just sitting here listening to you thinking you're kind of like the most beautiful kind of matchmaker, right? You're matching incredible veterans with incredible volunteers.
That's exactly how I think of it. I have the best job, and I'm just I'm just able to do the screening to make sure that we have great people coming in, because they're here to serve such wonderful residents and veterans, and it's really nice to make those matches and see those connections.
How has that helped you through this challenging year on a personal level?
Yeah, I think it's kept me inspired that the volunteers are, like you say, determined to continue finding ways to help. It's been very humbling we've had about 50 who have come back to help out with projects on site. And by comparison, over the same time period last year, there would have been about 350 volunteers coming in. But those that are able to come in, and many would really love to, but are unable to for a variety of reasons, those who are able to come in, they are like all of our staff and like the family members who are visiting, having a COVID test every 2 weeks. And I don't think it's any secret that that's not the most enjoyable experience, mm-hmm. to have that nasal swab, mm-hmm. but the volunteers have yet to complain to me about it. They come in and they do that. They go through their screening every day. They wear their PPE, and they take on roles that they would have that never existed before, like handing out masks, and you know, they were screening visitors who were coming in for outdoor visits. So they're just ready and geared up to go wherever is needed.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. Rachel Stoparczyk, Volunteer Services Coordinator for the Pearly Rideau Veterans Health Center. Stay with us for An Hour to Give. Certainly the world has changed for so many, and so many lives have been changed at the Pearly and Rideau Veterans Health Center. And we wanted to speak with Jen Plant, their Director of Clinical Practice. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
Jen, the world certainly has changed. And tell me how it's changed specifically for veterans.
Oh my gosh, there's so much change. I think one of the things that has been really difficult to balance is quality of life for residents and veterans, and making sure that we have a relentless focus on that commitment to quality of life.
Really is such a challenging time. How has your team sort of rallied around this, you know, really it's a monster at the door at the center, so that veterans are protected and your residents are protected?
I think that's one of the things that's really positive, or a silver lining from the challenging year that we've had, and that's really the engagement and teamwork that we see. So we've always had a fantastic team. It's one of the greatest places that I've ever worked in my career. But I saw people, you know, really jump in to do different roles during this time. Whatever residents and veterans need, that's what we've done. So people who normally might be working in a completely different service, learning how to support care in a different way. So that engagement and teamwork is really been tremendous. And we see that continuing on as we prepare for Remembrance Day and Veterans Week, and see people coming forward and asking how they can help.
How has this challenged you as professionals?
Oh my gosh, that's a difficult question. I think part of what we've been able to do is because we're really inspired by the resilience of our residents, of our family, myself, of the staff. We've learned a different way to care for ourselves. So we've had a pretty big emphasis on self-care, recognizing that if staff aren't able to care for themselves, they're not able to care for others.
Mm-hmm.
We've thought about gratitude in a different way. It's National mm-hmm. Ethics Week, and we're thinking about how do we support staff in moral distress, and really an emphasis on gratitude during this time has been important as well.
Really is so interesting, because we're trying to find those silver linings, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often when tragedy strikes, we do go to gratitude. We do go to those things that bring us some sort of joy, or we try to see the meaning in everything. Have you found that as well?
It's so funny, yes. And as we prepare for Veterans Week, I think one of the things that really came to light for me is, you know, through conversations with my daughter. She's 15. She spent her last few summers pre-COVID volunteering at the Pearly Rideau, along with a number of other youth volunteers. And she's in grade 10 studying Canadian history. So as she learns about these key milestones and battles, I come home in the evening and she's so filled with emotion as she thinks about her time here and the impact that residents have had on her.
Wow.
She would chat with residents about, you know, her life she's a teenager, about her life, and they would talk about what their life was like, and usually always filled with a joke or two.
Mm-hmm.
Some residents would share their experience as young soldiers, and some of them lied about their age to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're a teenager today and you think back on that as you're learning about the war, it's a completely different appreciation for the sacrifices from many years ago. She told me the other day when she was learning about D-Day, she recalls some of the stories shared with her by some of the veterans here,
mm-hmm.
and just the different appreciation. She's just filled with awe and admiration, and then the empathy, you know, when you know somebody and care about somebody who lived during that time and was part of that, it's beyond words.
Let's think about that for a second, because I think, you know, we think about your daughter, 15. What is that? What do you think that'll mean for her at 25, 35, you know, as she sort of goes through her life? And on the flip side of that, what do you think that means to someone, you know, that has served and has lived that full life like a veteran?
Well, I think it's actually impossible for us to imagine what it was like fighting in the war. I know one of the things that she said, that everybody should learn history the way she's learned history. So textbooks are important and school is important, but when you learn through somebody's experience, she'll never forget that. And I think, you know, that's the value of that wisdom that our veterans bring to our lives. For them, I think there's so much shared learning. When we talk about, you know, even today during COVID and the future, we often focus on how can we leverage intergenerational programs. You know, it's successful for both the children or the teens as well as seniors. And, you know, what an opportunity to hear the wisdom of age. The seniors often, they just ask her what her day's like. What is she happy about? What worries her? On the rare occasion, they'll talk politics.
I love it.
But it's something that, you know, it's such an interesting perspective. And bringing these younger people and older people together builds connections. You know, during COVID-19, the social connection's more important than ever. So we're doing that in a different way. We have schools that are sending along letters and artwork, and particularly for Veterans Week, we have nursing students who are connecting remotely with residents and tenants and seniors in the community, and veterans, and really looking to understand the lived experience, which I think is so valuable for young and old alike to learn from one another.
It is really, really, really key. What does it look like post-COVID? Are you starting to think forward to what it looks like post-COVID for your caring for veterans?
Absolutely. We used to have, you know, pre-COVID, we had a number of programs on site that brought together different folks and different age groups. We continue to plan for post-COVID. We're looking to expand the Pearly Rideau. Now more than ever, we know that the health system needs support for caring for seniors, and that's what we love to do. So in the future, how will we care for seniors and veterans? We're exploring pairing seniors' care with a child care center. Mm-hmm. So that's another way that we can build an intergenerational opportunity sort of in a ongoing basis. So caring for veterans and seniors, really, again, you really need to focus on quality of life through meaningful activities, social inclusion. There's also pressure on child care centers to create positive environments and consider innovative and quality care as well. So there's this emerging body of research in social care suggesting the benefits of this intergenerational programming, and we have to find a way to make it sustainable. So that's something that we're looking at, and the planning is happening now, but I think there's a lot of opportunity for reciprocal learning, looking at loneliness and empathy and social connectedness. So even though COVID is happening, there's active planning happening right now. As I mentioned, there's a group of nursing students that are looking at some of the planning related to this, and how do we embed storytelling in some of these intergenerational programs. Mm-hmm. So we're really hoping that as we expand our campus in the future to meet the needs of the community, that we'll create these repeated opportunities for children, teens, and seniors to be together and to connect.
It really is so important when I think about that storytelling piece. I just love that part, because I think that's a really, really, really key piece. Are veterans willing to mostly sort of tell their stories, or are some of them a little bit shy?
Yeah, I think it's It's really dependent on the person, and we certainly, I love my conversations that I have with veterans, and some are so open to sharing their experience, and they're really comfortable about that, and others, they don't want to talk about it. So we take a really person-centered approach, and what the person wants to talk about is what we talk about. Some of our veterans, you know, they might paint or they might build airplanes, and they might express some of their experiences through different ways. And, you know, that's one thing that is really important, is just respecting how that person wants to connect, mm-hmm. And what's right for them, because it's certainly not for everybody.
I noticed when I was there, Jen, that those beautiful sort of glass cabinets, if you will, that often they'll have their sort of treasures in there, pictures and medals and different things. And I think those really tell a story too, don't they?
Absolutely. So what you're referring to is the curio cabinets that are outside each resident's room. And it's all of what's special to them, and it's a wonderful way to have a conversation when you're getting to know somebody. And you know, I know my daughter mentioned, you know, through her time here and now learning about the war through her history class, is she's very quick to point out the accomplishments that residents have been proud of, and those are, as you mentioned, some of the medals and some other things that might be in the curio cabinets. One of our residents, who my daughter spent some time with, had shared about a postcard that was in his curio cabinet, and it was the lunch menu from D-Day. And she, you know, that's something that wow. neither one of us will forget, and that in this case, this veteran was very open to talking about his experience and shared with us some of those meaningful things in his life. And you don't ever forget that. You don't ever forget their sacrifice. And it just gives you a different appreciation for many of the challenges and what we have to be grateful for.
Beautifully year, said. Yeah, absolutely.
Both of my daughters have sponsored a flag this year to honor Pearlie Rideau veterans.
I love that so much. You're doing a great job, not only as the Director of Clinical Practice at the Pearlie Rideau Veterans Health Center, but you're doing a great job as a mom.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. That's Jen Plant. We're going to come back with my friend Delphine. Stay right where you are for an hour to give. I love the opportunity to speak with one of the greatest fundraisers in our city, and that's Delphine Hasley. Hi, Delphine.
Hi, Sam.
And of course, you are the executive director for the Pearlie and Rideau Veterans Health Center Foundation. That's an amazing title and an amazing job. How are you managing in 2020?
Oh, what a year it's been. Mm-hmm. It's been very challenging in many ways, but we receive so much support from the community that I feel great.
It really is amazing. And when the world sort of went sideways in March, I know that I, as a donor to Pearlie Rideau, I received an appeal from you saying, you know, we still need you. How important was it to really connect with your donors all through this incredibly challenging year?
Well, it was super important because, as you know, we had to change so many ways we were doing fundraising. We canceled all our events. Many of our supporters who usually do smaller events like a golf tournament and things like that cancel. We received quite a lot of funding from the Legion, and same, they've been hit so hard. So our fundraising regular fundraising in some ways, you know, went down, and all of a sudden we were in a situation where we actually still need to support the health center for the resident priority need list, but all of a sudden the cost of COVID in our home has been, it's great. So we needed to do something, and one thing we did, it was an emergency response appeal, mm-hmm. and it was so successful. And not only we raised lots of money, but it was all the notes that we were getting at the same time, where people were really wanted to show their support and say thank you for what we were doing. And it was so great.
really is. Donors are so inspiring when they're really connected to a cause as they are to veterans and, of course, the Pearly Rideau. This is an opportunity for us to really see the magic in community.
Absolutely. And And I think it's also a time where in 2020 we all felt powerless in some ways. Mm-hmm. And that was a way to say, okay, I'm going to make a difference. I can do something. And so it's been really great the way the response we got. But the needs are still there. We're still in the same pandemic. And we still have needs to make sure that our seniors and veterans have, you know, happy life in some ways, and are in comfort and still have access to the program that really makes their life much better, or the best it could be, especially during this time. It's so important.
And we've spoken a couple of times today about the importance of Remembrance Day, of course, at the Pearly and Rideau. This year, even more special, as we know, people can get involved and really donate to place a flag there and really represent their family as well, but also show veterans that we are all thinking about them.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and you've come to our campus, and you know how we have the big front lawn at the front where we have a cenotaph and all that. And our, you know, the vision is to have like 2,000 flags there on remembrance, and really have that sea of red and white, and it's just in front of the home where about 100 veterans live there, and that's what they're going to see from their window. And it's just a way to say, we remember, and we want to pay tribute. And usually at the Pearly, we have about 800 people who gather together, and it's very emotional. And this time it's going to be on Facebook Live. It's a nice way to do it, but if you think about it, if you're 95 years old and you're going to watch on a small screen, it's not the same. So I think having the flag there is really going to bring them joy and really let them know that we are so thankful.
I think so many people, especially during this challenging year with COVID-19, have really seen how seniors are vulnerable. And Pearly Rideau, of course, looks after them so beautifully. Have you found the community to even be more sensitive to the needs of veterans during this year?
I think so. It just, in some ways, I really feel COVID put a spotlight on senior care. Seniors and veterans in our case, and it really, you know, now it's okay to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a step in the right direction, because if you think about it, in 20 years there'll be 3 times more seniors.
Wow.
And they're all going to need help. And so it's really important that we are focusing on senior care and transforming it so it is, we can really make sure that men and women are living the last paragraph of their book in the best way. You know, it's not even the last chapter, it's really the last paragraph, but it can be done in with dignity, and that's what we can offer.
It really is all about dignity, and I think this is an opportunity for each and every one of us to think about how we can impact veterans, especially as we head into Remembrance Day. Let's think about different ways that people can get involved. Of course, they can make a gift to the Pearly Rideau. They can do a monthly gift, which is a great way of giving. But also, I love when people sort of rally together and do a joint gift. Maybe a company comes together to support you. Are those some of the ways that you're hoping the community will help this year?
Absolutely. That's exactly. No, but really, you know, and right now we are seeing a lot of donors, one-person individual donors, and we really hope it's going to inspire other groups to come forward and show their support, because we still need it.
And it's really important, too, this year, so many people decided this was the year they were going to get their affairs in order. And many people created a will for the first time, not because they were necessarily sick or anything. It was just an opportunity to kind of take pause and reflect about the legacy that they wanted to leave. Did you connect with some donors this year that wanted to leave a gift in their will?
We do, and that's part of a program that we have ongoing for sure. And we've seen, I agree with you, we've seen more conversation, really trying to understand and understanding that it's, you know, you take care of your family first, but there is always a way that you can really leave a legacy, something that's important to you. And doesn't have to be a big number, but it's a great way to show that you want to make sure that, in our case, that a home will always be there for veterans.
Absolutely. Has it been a lot of pressure on you this year, Delphine?
Well, there is, because the needs keeps on getting bigger and bigger. Right, and we always try to need to find new ways to fundraise, and it's at a time where we have to change everything we're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's challenging, but like I said, like, the community is so supportive and really wants to make a difference that it's inspiring.
And we're speaking with Delphine Hasley. Delphine, when you connect with donors and they're reaching out and you get those little notes about the work that is being done at the Pearly Rideau and those inspiring messages, does that sort of help drive you?
It does drive me, but it drives the whole team here. You know, some of my favorite notes were saying, you know, having people saying, oh, I'm just donating, so I want to support the awesome team who's making seniors and veterans happy. And it's those kind of small things. It's great for me, but it really helps the whole team, from the PSW to the cleaners to the nurse to the doctor. Like, everyone is really benefiting from it. We made a wall where we have all those messages, and it's really boost, you know, a nice boost that we all need during this time.
And was there somebody special at the Pearly and Rideau Veterans Health Center that you remember that has really shared something with you that really, you know, inspires you every day?
Yes, there is. You know, there is so many amazing men and women that I met. I've been at the Pearly now for 7 years, and I've been so lucky to meet amazing people. But sadly, we just lost someone that was really dear to my heart, and I will miss his smile.
Aww.
You know, when you go, he was always in a good mood. And that's something, that generation, they always amaze me. Like, they seem to always have a good day. And I think when I ask them, they say it's just because you don't worry so much about the small thing. You know, just focus on the big, mm-hmm. important thing, making sure that you have love in your life and support. And with a smile, you can go a long way.
It really can. And that really is, you know, when you think about everything that many of the veterans that you're caring for have been through, and that's their attitude. I get inspired by that as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So let's recap, because we've spoke about lots of different ways the community can get involved today. Remembrance Day, only a few days away. Let's walk through exactly how somebody would reach out to you, Delphine, to make a difference in the lives of veterans.
So yes, during this time, for sure, sponsoring a flag is a great way, and you can just go to our website, pearlyrideaufoundation.ca, or you can call our office as well, the 613-526-7173, and Carla will help you with a donation, to help you to make the donation. But that is a great way, and then also on the website we can sign up to be a monthly donor, which is a great way to say to show your support all year long, not just on November 11.
It's one of my favorite ways to give, for sure. It's a great way to give. I always love my time with you, Delphine Hasley, Executive Director of the Pearlie and Rideau Veterans Health Center. I'll certainly be thinking about all the veterans at your amazing location through Remembrance Day. And I really encourage all of our listeners, reach out to the Pearlie and Rideau Veterans Health Center if you can help a veteran today. Thank you so much for listening to An Hour to Give.